We are going to break into our series on 1 Corinthians this morning. In light of Christmas coming up, we want to think about the birth of Christ and what it means and what it means to us even some 2,000 years later. Luke chapter 2. And before we look at God's word, let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that Jesus came to this earth and was born. Thankful, Lord, that through him we could have eternal life. And I pray this morning, as we think about the birth of Christ, as we think about all that it means to us today, pray, Lord, that you might speak to hearts. Help us, Father, to hear your word this morning. Be receptive to it. I pray, Lord, we might apply it to our lives. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 2. I got to be careful here now. I'm hemmed in on both sides. Let me move that over. I want you to think for a moment that we are getting ready for the birth of a king. In fact, maybe a queen or some very important person. And we've seen, like over in England, when one of the princesses has a baby, that there's all kinds of honor being displayed, all kinds of people coming to the palace. And when that happens, if you are a honored guest, you get your invitation and it's done up really nice, and you know, you get to come. And if you are an honored guest, and especially if it's a prince being born or a princess, you're somebody. I mean, if England is going to have a new prince, I want you to know this morning, I don't get the invitation. And maybe you don't either. Because they are going to celebrate the birth of a really important person with really important people. That's usually the way it's done. We are getting ready to celebrate a birth in our family. My daughter is going to be having a baby very, very soon now. They changed her date. It was January 14th. Now it's anywhere from January 10th to the 15th. But we went away on Thursday evening, got back yesterday afternoon. And while we were away, quarter to 12, Tom, I think it was, quarter to 12 one night, we get a call, and my cell phone is off because it was real late at night. Tommy's is on because he has a girlfriend. So his is on all night. In fact, his girlfriend was traveling back to California, and she was getting stuck everywhere, and she was a long time getting back. But we get a call. Tommy comes into our bedroom and says, "Mom, Dad, Amy's on the phone." Well, our first response is, "She's having her baby. You know, let's get everything packed. Let's run to Virginia." And we were up in upstate New York. It wasn't. There was a bat in their house, and she wanted to know what to do with the bat, quarter to 12 in the evening. But we're going to be going down, as soon as we get the call, we're going to be going down and spend some time when she has her baby. But, you know, that's our granddaughter that's going to be being born. So in that case, I'm an honored guest because I'm grandpa. And Connie's grandma, so she's an honored guest. We get to go. But not for a king or a queen. If it's a king or a queen, I mean, they're inviting other kings and other queens and presidents and, you know, all kinds of famous people. Think about it. When someone really important is being born, all the famous people all over the world, they're getting the invitation. But it didn't happen that way when the birth of our Savior came about. When Jesus was born, you would think, you know, we would be inviting the kings and the queens and the presidents and everybody all around the world. And, you know, God would be taking 1,000 stars and shining them down on his birth. And, you know, there would be thousands upon thousands of people there to see the birth of a Savior. But it didn't happen that way. In fact, there were only two groups of people that got invitations. There were only two groups of people that got invited to the birth of the Savior of mankind. We're going to look at one of those groups tonight, and we're going to look at the first of those groups this morning. First group that got invited to the birth of our Savior was a group of shepherds who were out in the fields taking care of their flocks. Second group that got invited actually came sometime later. We're going to look at them tonight. But you know, even looking at the people who were invited, who were not very important people, we can learn some things about these people and some things that will help us to live for Jesus today. So I want to look this morning in Luke chapter 2 at the lesson of the shepherds and some things we can learn about them coming to the birth of Jesus. Here's the first one. God wants to use you. God wants to use you. Think about that for a moment. Almighty God, creator of this universe, God knows about you. He has the number of the hair on your head numbered. He knows about everything that's going on in your life. He knows your downs. He knows your ups. He knows about everything in your life. And God wants to use you. And we can see that by these shepherds who come to visit Jesus at his birth. Luke chapter 2, I want to begin reading in verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. The announcement of the birth of the Savior of mankind came to a group of shepherds. God wanted to use these shepherds who were out, probably little known, just a group of guys gathered together with all their sheep. These shepherds, God wanted to use them to announce the birth of Jesus, the Savior of mankind. Think about it for a moment. Why don't you think about their occupation? Notice in verse 8 and 9, what are they doing? They're shepherds and they're out in the fields. They're nearby where Jesus is born and they're taking care of their sheep. In fact, the word shepherd simply means one who takes care of sheep or one who takes care of goats. The duties of a shepherd in Palestine back in those days is much like a farmer today. You know, the hardest working people you will ever meet in your life are farmers. Their job begins when it's still dark and their job ends when it's after dark. And it was true of these shepherds. Their job was to keep an eye on the flock to make sure that they were protected. Shepherds also had to supply the sheep with water regularly. And you know, sheep are skittish. So if the water was too noisy, if the water was running too much, the sheep wouldn't go by. So he had to find a place where he could get them water and a place where they would drink. So he'd take them to streams or he would take them to wells, but he had to make sure in Palestine they had water or they would die. At night, he would guide them back to their home. But the problem at night was often there were thieves. And they would come and they would take the sheep from the shepherd. Jesus talks about that in the Gospel of John, and he relates it spiritually to our lives. Often there were wild animals that would come and eat the sheep. So he had to protect them from man, and he had to protect them from wild animals. So these shepherds, they're out in their field, they're minding their own business, they're a bunch of nobodies, and all they're doing is their job. They're not thinking about anything else, they're not thinking about the birth of some great person, they're not thinking in the next few moments they would be standing by the Savior. But that's what would happen. They're watching over their sheep at night. We are not told what time of year this happens. You may not know it, so let me say it this morning. We don't know that Jesus was born on December 25th. It is very possible that Jesus was born sometime in the spring. Around the 4th century or so, the church chose the date of December 25th for a whole bunch of reasons I won't get into this morning as the date to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And that's why we do that today. These sheep may have been destined for the temple sacrifice. But they're out in the field and they're watching the sheep. And notice in verse 9, an angel comes to them. And the glory of the Lord shows around them. All of a sudden, in the middle of the darkness, it becomes very bright. And you can imagine, if it were you, you would be startled. We were driving back from New York yesterday. And I have a TomTom in my car. In fact, there's one in the front seat and one in the back seat. No, it's on the windshield. Besides the TomToms, we have a TomTom. And on my TomTom, if you have one, you can set a whole bunch of things on it. Well, I set mine to go off if I speed. So we were driving back, and Connie was really tired, so she fell asleep. And when the thing goes off, it just starts beeping. And we were going down a hill, and I went a little too fast, and the thing went off because I was above the speed limit, and Connie just jumped. I mean, she just really startled. So you can imagine, you're out watching your sheep, it is the middle of the night, and all of a sudden it gets really bright, and these shepherds, you know, some of them wake up, and they're startled, they're terrified. Not only because they've gone from darkness to light, but all of a sudden there's an angel standing there. Zechariah had the same response when an angel came to him. You know, I've often thought about this passage, and I've often wondered, you know, why shepherds? Why did Jesus go to shepherds? Why didn't he go to some king or some queen or some leader of the world? Why go to a bunch of guys who are out in the field, lowly shepherds, and announce the birth of Jesus first to them? And make these guys, the guys who would go to the world as far as they could go and tell people about the Savior being born. Why them? They are the first to hear the announcement of the birth of the Savior. They are the first to spread the news of the birth of the Savior. Why not great men? Why not powerful men? Why not influential men? Why not wealthy men? Why shepherds? And as I thought about it, you know, the Bible gives us our own answers. All we have to do is go to the Bible, and the Bible will answer our questions. Hold your finger here and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We've looked at this not too long ago. First Corinthians chapter 1. And verse 26. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things, and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Why did He choose a bunch of shepherds to announce and to first announce to them the birth of the Savior? You know why? For the very reason I just said. Because they were a bunch of nobodies. And God wanted to use those nobodies to announce to this world that the greatest person who was ever born was born on that day. And they needed to go see Him. The Savior was born. Creator of this universe. The God who holds all things together. choosing them, God tells us that God chooses the lowly things of the world to shame the wise. In choosing them, it tells us that God loves you and God loves me, and he wants to use us to serve him and to reach this world. Can I use me for an example? Think about it for a moment. Why would God, whose phone? You're in trouble. Is that you, Joan? Why would God want to use me? Don't answer that. Why would God want to use me? I mean, who am I? Why would God want to use me to tell someone else about Jesus? Why would God want to use me to pastor this church? Why would God want to use me to preach his word? Why would God want to use me to tell others about Jesus? Why has God used me? And it is unbelievable for me to even think about it. That I know that's got to be Gene and Shannon. We're going to point you out every time it happens. You know, as I think over my life, I can think of well over 100 people that are now living for Jesus Christ and have received Christ as their Savior because God used me to tell them about Jesus. In fact, my junior year in college, I went to a Christian camp, and when I went to that camp, I called them on the phone to get the job. And I called the camp up and I said, "What's the purpose of your camp?" And they said, "To reach children with the gospel of Jesus Christ." And I said, "That's great. I want to come. When can I come?" And they said, "Well, wait a minute. First, we got to hire you." And I said, all right, hire me. I want to come. I want to tell kids about Jesus." And I went there. I went, as soon as I got out of college, I immediately went, and I was telling kids about Jesus, and I kept a record in my Bible. I still have that Bible. That summer, I had the privilege of leading over 30 kids to Jesus Christ. And I remember most of those incidences. One of them was while we were driving around the lake on a pontoon boat. Why would God want to use me to do all that? What is in me that would cause God to want to use me? And I have found the answer. I know what the answer is. The thing that is in me that would cause God to want to use me? Nothing. Nothing. I'm nobody. I have no special talents. I have no special abilities. I'm not brighter than anybody else. There's no reason why God would want to choose me out of the world. Someone who is very shy. Someone, when I would go to my grandparents' house, would hide behind my mother. Would never expect to have me standing up talking in front of people. Why would God want to use me? It's the same reason he called those shepherds to the birth of Jesus. And it's the same reason why God wants to use you. Because he wants to take your life and he wants to take my life. And he wants to show this world that with you and I, average people, God can do awesome things. God wants to use you. Don't sit back and say, "Well, you know, I'm nobody. I can't do anything. I don't have any abilities. I don't have any gifts. I'm just going to sit here and do nothing, keep my mouth shut, sit in the corner, and I, you know, that's all I can do." I want you to know you're the exact kind of person God wants. And if you are above average and you have great abilities, and you know what? Then you have much more responsibility to serve God and to be used by God. God wants to use you. And I see that in these shepherds. Just guys out in the middle of the night taking care of the sheep, and he picked them to tell them about Jesus, and he picked them to announce the birth to everybody in that day. Well, you notice the second thing we can learn from this story. God has an important message for you. God has an important message for you. Notice verse 10. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." It is here given to the shepherds by an angel, this message. I want you to notice the characteristics of the message. First of all, he tells these shepherds, don't be afraid. Don't be terrified. Remember, they were startled. They were possibly, some of them at least, woken up. They're scared. He says, don't be afraid. You know, an angel could be a scary thing. Standing in the presence of an angel can be a scary thing. You know, the Bible says that it's possible for you and I to entertain an angel. But today, chances are you wouldn't know that you're in the presence of an angel. But back then, they did because the glory of God shone around. The Bible tells us several times when angels showed up and they brought the judgment of God. Remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? The angels came along with Jesus, and they came with God's judgment to destroy two cities. We know in the end days, during the tribulation time, more angels will come and they will bring the judgment of God. So there are times when angels show up that you ought to be petrified. But in this case, they are not bringing God's judgment. They are bringing a simple announcement. In the city of David, Savior was born. He is Christ the Lord. And that message is a message of good news, of great joy. Good news. Announcing glad tidings. Savior is born. Great joy. Why would there be good news? Why would that good news be great joy? Think about it. Savior has been born. Do you know if this baby had not been born, you and I would never have a chance to go to heaven? If this Savior had not been born, you and I would be eternally lost in our sin. When Adam and Eve were in the garden and they sinned, before they had sinned, they had walked with God on a daily basis, they had talked with God on a daily basis, but when they had sinned, they lost their relationship with God. God kicked them out of the garden, and the relationship with God had caused a separation because of their sin. And because of that separation, you and I would have no possibility as Adam and Eve's children of ever getting back in a right relationship with God. Unless God chose to send his son and bring him by way of a virgin to this earth to be born. The great joy, the good news of the birth of Jesus is that through him, you and I have the possibility of going to heaven. If we receive Christ as our Savior, if we come to a place in our life where we recognize our own sin and we put our trust in what Jesus did on the cross, the Bible says we can bridge that gap, Jesus bridged that gap, and we can once again have a relationship with God. Truly good news. Truly great joy. That through the birth of this person, our lives can be eternally different. You know, no one has changed this world ever as the birth of Jesus. Think about our calendars and how they've been changed. Think about all the people down throughout history and how the things that they have done. Many of the hospitals that exist today have been the result of the work of Christians reaching out to help others. Change in the life of Christians have all been the result of the birth of Jesus. Notice here that the angel says to these shepherds that this message of good news, of great joy, is for all people. The message that he gives them, he says, is for all people. Good news, great joy, is not just for some people, not just for most people, but for all people. We are living in a day and age where people get involved in what's known as syncretism. You know what syncretism is? It's a big word that simply says this. I'm going to live my life in such a way that I am going to pick and choose what's good for me and what's bad for me, and based solely on my choice, I will live my life. So I will go out to all the religions of the world, and I will go to Christianity and find in Christianity things I like, and I will bring them into my life. I will go to Buddhism and find in the things in Buddhism the things that I like, and I will bring them into my life. I will go to Islam and find the things in Islam that I like, and I will bring them into my life. I will go to all the different religions of the world, and I will pick and choose what I like, and I will end up with my own, kind of my own little religion. And being happy with my own little religion, I will depend on that to get me to heaven. I want you to know, if you could get to heaven through any other means than Jesus, then the good news of great joy would not be for all people. The good news of great joy is for all people because through the person who was born, we have the possibility to have a relationship with his Father. And when we receive Jesus as our Savior, it becomes a reality. That is why the birth of this child is good news of great joy. Doesn't matter where you live. Doesn't matter the color of your skin. Doesn't matter what religion you were born in. If you will receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you can have a relationship with the Father of this baby, and you can be with this baby who died on the cross for our sins for all eternity in heaven. The birth of this baby was like no other. Notice the content of this announcement. Content. The angel tells him, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. That's why he came. The sole reason Jesus came was to be a Savior. In the town of David, Bethlehem, a Savior. You know, the word Savior means deliverer. Deliverer. The reason and purpose Jesus was born was to deliver you from your sins. To deliver me from my sins. He is Christ the Lord, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Master. He was the one that had been predicted, the one who the Jews had been waiting for, the one that the Old Testament had said would come, and that he would die on the cross for our sins, and he would be buried, and he would rise again, and he would do that for all people. Now through him, we can have a relationship with his Father. The Savior has been born. How would they know when they find him? He would be wrapped in clothes. King James Version says swaddling clothes. In those days, they didn't have Huggies. They had clothes. What they do is they would rip strips of cloth. And when a baby was born, they would wrap those strips of cloth around the baby's hiney. And depending on who you were, those strips of cloth would tell who you were. If you were someone who was very famous, then your bottom would get very luxurious clothes. If you were a nobody, then they would just rip some strips of cloth, and that would be your diaper. There is nothing different about Jesus. If you came to where he was born in a manger, you would think he was one of the poorest of poor. He had no fancy clothes. He had nothing fancy about him. He just had a bunch of shepherds come to see his birth. These angels give glory to God. That was the purpose of his birth, ultimately to glorify God. These angels say, look, it would cause peace on earth. Peace with God that has come to all men because of Jesus. This peace that brings Jesus to men, both with God and the peace of God, is only the peace that only God can bring. In fact, if it were not for this baby that was going to be born, there could be no peace. could be no peace with God, and there could be no peace in our heart, and there could be no peace with one another. It's all centered in the birth of this baby. I want you to know the third thing about the shepherds. Not only does God want to use you, and we see that in these shepherds, not only did God have an important message for them and for us through the birth of this baby, but I want you to know that God has an important mission for you. God has an important mission for you. I want you to notice in verse 15, follow with me as I read. When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. God has an important mission for you and I. He brought these shepherds to the birth of Jesus for a reason. He wanted them to be the first to see the birth of the Savior and then to take the news of that birth to everyone they could. So they went running around telling everybody, "Look, in the town of Bethlehem, the Savior has been born. The Messiah, the one we had prayed for, the one we had heard prophesied about, he's been born. It's happened." And as everybody listened, they were all amazed at that. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, listen, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Then in Matthew 28, he says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always." You know, the birth of the Savior was for these shepherds to go and tell everyone. And the story of Jesus Christ is for you and I to go and tell everyone. God has given you and I a mission. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a mission just like these shepherds. And it's to go and tell everyone you know about Jesus. To go and tell everyone you know about the Savior and what he can do in their life. Think about it for a moment. God wants to use you. Are you available to God? Or do you make all kinds of excuses why you don't have time for God? God has an important message for you. Do you understand it? God's message to you is that you are a lost sinner apart from Jesus. But if you will receive Jesus, this Savior, as your own Savior, if you will place your trust in what he did on the cross to deliver you from your sins, you can have a relationship with God and go to heaven when you die. And God has a mission for you. Are you carrying it out? Are you telling everybody you know about Jesus? Or do you find all kinds of reasons not to do anything? Let's pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to give you the opportunity this morning, if you had never have before, to receive Jesus as your Savior. That's why he was born. That's why he came. The good news is that the Savior was born, that he came to this earth. He died on a cross. They buried him. 3 days later, he rose from the dead to prove that he had power over death. And that if you will place your trust in what he did on the cross for you, you can have eternal life. It's not the words you say or the words you pray, but it's what you do from your heart in relationship to the Savior. But let me help you this morning. If you have never asked him to become your Savior, you can use my words if they help you. Dear God, I admit I'm a sinner, but I believe that Jesus died for my sin. And right now, I place my trust in what he did on the cross for me. Dear God, save me from my sin. Deliver me. I turn from my sin, and from this day forward, I will live for you. I want you to know, if you prayed those words and they were real in your heart, the Savior that was born, he's now your Savior. Dear Christian, every one of us, we have a mission. It's to get the message of Jesus, the Savior, to this world. And we're not doing a very good job. We need to do better. Father God, we are so thankful that you're willing to use us. It just amazes us. And I pray, Lord, that everyone that is here this morning will make themselves available to you. Father, use us. Father, we don't know why you would want to use us, but we're so thankful that you do. So use us. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask our ushers to come forward as we take our morning offering.